supreme.
The supreme.
Katim. Perfectional stage. Translation. He who disregards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination. Which language are you reading?
Spanish.
Read? Read Spanish translation?
Aquel que hace a un lado las disposiciones de las escrituras y actúa según sus propios caprichos no consigue ni la perfección ni la felicidad ni el destino supremo.
Purport. As described before, the Shastra Vidhi, or the direction of the Shastra, is given to the different castes and orders of human society. Everyone is expected to follow these rules and regulations. If one does not follow them and acts whimsically according to his lust, greed, and desire, then he will never be perfect in his life. In other words, a man may theoretically know all these things, but if he does not apply them in his own life, then he is to be known as the lowest of mankind. In the human form of life, a living entity is expected to be sane and to follow the regulations given for elevating his life to the highest platform. But if he does not follow them, then he degrades himself. But even if he follows the rules and regulations and moral principles and ultimately does not come to the stage of understanding the Supreme Lord, then all his knowledge becomes spoiled. And even if he accepts the existence of God, if he does not engage himself in the service of the Lord, his attempts are spoiled. Therefore, one should gradually raise himself to the platform of Krishna consciousness and devotional service. It is then and there that he can attain the highest perfectional stage, not otherwise. The word karmakarta is very significant. A person who knowingly violates the rules acts in lust. He knows that this is forbidden, but still he acts. This is called acting whimsically. He knows that this should not be done, but still he knows that this should be done, but still he does not do it. Therefore he is called whimsical. Such persons are destined to be condemned by the Supreme Lord. Such persons cannot have the perfection which is meant for the human life. The human life is especially meant for purifying one's existence, and one who does not follow the rules and regulations cannot purify himself, nor can he attain the real stage of happiness. Om Agyanamiti Marandasha Gyanjala Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yenam Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Sri Taitanya Manopistam Stapitam Yenam Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Pandeham Sri Guru Sri Yukta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaisnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sakrijatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vidantam Sajivam Sarvatam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Rata Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakam Vidam Cha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Rishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchaka Patrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Sri Vasudev Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Namo Rama Hare Hare. I was making something with it says Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, and then there's the picture of Gauri Thai which we have on the in the hall, and this is Hare Krishna mantra, this is Prabhupada's mantra. I'm going to laminate them for the Namahatas, for Liège and for Ghent.
Will it be in French?
No, it's Sanskrit.
I'll only the same just for recitation.
Yes. So I'll read the verse again. We've got one more verse tomorrow and then the chapter's finished. So this verse is a warning what happens if you don't follow the scripture. He who disregards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection, nor happiness, nor the supreme destination. So previously in the chapter was described Krishna started off describing the qualities of the good qualities, the divine qualities, and then the rest of the chapter, most of it, he's spent describing the demoniac qualities, what the demon does or doesn't do, how he thinks, and what the result is. And the results are quite dramatic. The result is of demoniac life. Is that he gradually, the demons gradually sink down to the most abominable type of existence.
What is that from?
20. So most of us have a little bit of divine and a little bit of demoniac. None of us are maybe you are, but most of us are not 100% divine. And fortunately, no one here is 100% demoniac. Somewhere in between. Sometimes a little more towards the divine and sometimes a little more towards the demoniac. So there are three gates leading to this hell: lust, anger, and greed. In modern society, it's considered it's portrayed as something desirable to be lusty, angry, and greedy. On the television, the hero of the film is often either lusty or angry or greedy. When my mother's watching her television programs and I'm in the other room, I can hear all this shouting going on. Yes?
Well, Arjuna was also told to become angry.
This is a different kind. He wasn't told to be angry. He wasn't told to be angry, he was told to fight.
Well, you can't fight without being angry.
It's a different kind of anger. It's more controlled. Most people, when they get angry, they're completely out of control. Sometimes what the police do is, on a Saturday night when they have a lot of work, they sometimes video the behavior of the person and show them the video the next day, and the person can hardly believe that they have done or said that. They say, oh, I'm not normally like this. They're completely out of control. People who are angry, mostly they're, like the expression is, they lose it, like lose their intelligence for some time. But my point is that the hero of the television programs is often lusty or angry or greedy. In the films, you don't often get a hero of the film who is neither lusty nor angry nor greedy. Usually it's not. Most of the films that they make in America are not showing people who are following four principles.
Yeah, it's greedy.
I think some programs are not allowed to show people smoking anymore. I'm not sure about the feature films.
It's discouraged.
They used to have the hero always used to be smoking a cigarette in the films. But now I think that I'm not sure if it's banned or whether it's.
It's not banned. It's just being discouraged. You know, you might get critique when you show too much in your.
And I remember the last James Bond film they made. They gave him a girlfriend instead of that. He kept changing his girlfriends throughout the film. It was because they had got too much critique that he was changing women too much.
Maybe that's the influence of our movement.
Wait till he's vegetarian and we'll.
That's good, I like it.
James Bond goes vegetarian.
Yeah, that would be great.
Would you like a drink? No, I'm following Forex. I always remember there was a film on the, not a film, a program on the television, what was it called? Batman. And one of the things that they did good was they, when the Batman and Robin got into the car, they would say, okay, let's fasten our seatbelts. And that was obviously for the kids to teach them. But oh, I was a little kid, I always remember that they said that. They got into the Batmobile and said, let's fasten our seatbelts. Okay, Robin, let's fasten our seatbelts. Or maybe it was Robin who was saying it. So the three gates to hell, what were they? Read it in Spanish.
I'm angry.
Angry, yeah?
Greedy
and? What is it in Spanish?
Yeah, no remember.
Read the verse. Read the verse in Spanish.
No remember Spanish.
Read. Luciano, read the verse.
Which verse is it?
Good idea. 21. 1621, read it. Read it so we can hear.
Okay.
Read.
Lujuria, la ira y la codicia. ¿Cómo se dice?
You can read the whole verse.
Ah, all the verse.
Yeah.
Hay tres puertas que conducen a este infierno. La lujuria, la ira y la codicia. Todo hombre cuerdo debe abandonarlas. Pues ellas llevan a la degradación del alma.
So hell means inferno means hell. In Spanish, inferno means hell.
Yes.
Sounds pretty gruesome. Sounds very hot.
Yeah,
okay. In English, inferno means big fire.
Yeah, you also have this. So I'm not sure what it is. It's called Dante's Inferno. Maybe the Mark is Dante's Inferno. What is that? It's a famous book.
Yeah. Oh.
And it's about Dante going down to hell, right, Mark? Yes, something like that.
So they're suggesting giving up these three things that most people think are very nice.
Yeah.
Some people think that it, they feel strong when they're angry.
Yeah.
They think that they will enjoy if they have more. Like, for example, when there's very nice feast and there's so much very nice preps, and you think, if I take some more, a second helping of everything, I'll enjoy again or I'll enjoy more.
Lust, anger, and greed, no?
Yeah, lust, anger, and greed, yeah. But Krishna is saying that these are the three gates to hell. As he's saying, these are our three enemies. So what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to avoid these three gates and then perform acts which are conducive to self-realization. And so to help us, there are some rules and some regulations. Things like get up in the morning, remember that there's a morning program, go to it. Chant some rounds, follow some regs. And in nectar devotion, how many? 64 things that we should remember, do's and don'ts?
I think,
mostly.
All offenses against the deity, right?
Oh, there are they against the deity?
Yeah,
I thought they were kind of two rules.
Temple, like bowing down with one hand,
yeah.
Becoming unwashed into the temple, quarreling from the deity. I have to brush up on it.
So, we're supposed to live according to scriptural injunctions. So this is a scripture. Let's see what injunctions Krishna is giving here. Chapter 18, what's he going to say? Very simple. He's giving some very simple tips. how we can get back home, back to Godhead. Only have to do 4 things. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer obeisances. So all these other rules are just helping us to do these 4 things. It's easier to remember Krishna when we come to the morning program or the evening program. Even a few people come to the evening program. Imagine how much mercy they'll get. They sing in the evening program. Imagine how happy Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be for the people who always come and also sing. Every time he comes to the evening program, he writes it down in his notebook. Or he probably says to one of his sisters, okay, write down the names of everyone who came. There's people up there writing everything down. Even if you only come for a few minutes. Oh yeah, he also came, write his name down. Did you remember everything you do for Krishna? He will reciprocate. He will reward you. There was even a story I heard in Amsterdam temple that a mouse or a rat was walking on the altar, and as he waved his tail, the arati lamp waved, and it was counted as that he was offering arati. Did you remember that story? I don't know the souls. I remember hearing this story in Amsterdam all those years ago. I took it that it was from Chaitanya Lila, that a mouse or a rat had walked across the altar, and by his walking and his moving his tail, the arati lamp was waving, and this was taken to be an arati.
Yeah,
and he had offered arati.
Somewhere in the, I think, Prabhupada tells a story. I'm not sure if it's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but I also remember the story. What I remember, it was a mouse.
Yeah. So there's this story that Prabhupada told. One Hindu man was saying, but it's destiny. We can't escape our destiny. We can't. He was basically saying it's not his fault that he's not doing so well in devotional service. Prabhupada told a story about destiny. So the story is Shiva and Parvati are walking down the street, looking like people. And Parvati says, "Oh, look at this poor beggar. Shiva, can't you do something to help him?" She was feeling some compassion. And Shiva said, "Even if I give him some money, he won't be able to take it." So Shiva said, "I'll show you." He got a melon and he put inside $1,000. And then he gave the melon to this, as they passed by, he gave the melon as a donation. And the man said, "Thank you," politely. And after they passed a little further down the road, then the man started selling the melon. "Please give me one paisa and take this melon." And the next person who came along bought the melon for a very small price, and he got the $1,000. So Prabhupada was using it as a comparison, that this is like gold, and it's here, and people are not taking it. All the knowledge in here. Some people have the books on their shelves in the house, but they don't open them. So we can create our destiny by taking what Prabhupada's giving us. Like Vishnu Janaswami said to Prabhupada, "How come, Prabhupada, that you are giving me so much mercy?" He said, "I'm giving it to everyone, but you are taking it." So it's our good fortune if we take as much advantage as we can of the temple programs, come to the kirtans, come to the aratis, come to the classes. It's for our benefit. What do you think about that? The verse is here, but not everyone is coming. Not so many people on the Matajis side this evening. Such nectar every day. And tomorrow morning, Irmala is getting class. Last chance, then she's going to Germany on Friday. Did you see the class the other day that she did about Ramayana? Very nice, nice, with slides, with pictures and music. Very nice presentation. Because the Friday is the appearance of Ramachandra. Jai Shiva.
Jai.
Means you don't get breakfast. Fasting. Until moonrise? Or sunset? Or
sunset.
Around the same
time.
So this is sunset?
This is sunset.
What time does the sunset these days?
Well, look outside.
Not set yet. Sun's not set yet?
It's setting now.
Setting now?
Yeah,
so after the evening class, fasting until after the evening class.
It's Friday.
No.
It's Sunday on the appear.
So there'll be a Harinam.
Appearance.
Sunday also.
Sunday is Sunday feast. But
no,
Friday is Ramachandra's appearance day.
So we've got so much opportunity to get so much nectar. Do you have anything to add?
Yeah. I was reading this verse and I was thinking, if you see someone that is not following the scriptures, you can say, Ya na sasi de mahamati na sukam na.
So someone who is not following there, they get?
Yeah, if you do not follow it, then you will
happiness.
Not get perfection, you will not be happy, and you will not reach the Paramgati.
So the Paramgati, the supreme destination is?
Well,
Luciano, where do you want to go after you die?
Me?
Yeah, if you get the choice.
Paradise.
Where?
To the paradise.
To the paradise?
Yeah.
Swarga?
I don't know.
Intraloka?
I want.
Which paradise? Desert island?
With God.
With God? Oh, Krishna. And what are you going to do there?
The program every day.
What, every day?
The program I will do. The program.
Program?
Yeah.
How about you, Prabhu? Where you want to go after you die?
Let's see.
You want to come back here? They're born here in Spain? America? England? Indraloka? I remember one time I was feeling, I was in Maya, and I was thinking, I don't know about the spiritual life. I think I could be happy in material life. So I had this conversation with myself, well, so how long do you think you can be happy? Well, I think till the end of life. And then the little voice goes, and then, what's next? Oh, what, you mean take birth again? No, I don't want to take birth again. Okay, I'll do spiritual life. And then I kind of came back to my senses as a sort of having to... I was thinking, okay, I can be happy, I think, in material life, but the thought of taking birth again was enough to let me get back on track. Yes?
Yeah, I remember Dhanaji Maharaj, he told me that one of the main reasons that he joined him because he was afraid of going to hell.
Afraid of going to hell?
Yeah. He read that and he felt this is very serious.
Oh, he read this first?
Very, very serious last person in life. Because it's a reality, yeah? It can happen. It's not a fairy tale. And another thing also is that it's true, we have a supreme destination, we want to go to Krishna Loka. At the same time, it's also a consciousness. That's what we discussed also this morning. That, specifically we're discussing that Arjuna, Yudhishthira, and Arjuna are same bodies. But the cornerstone of our philosophy is that we can obtain perfection within this body, within this life.
Yeah, even in this life. You can taste the nectar even in this life.
Yeah, so we can, if you become Krishna conscious, then it's like we're already there in the spiritual world. So, but, you know, I appreciate it. We do want to go to the spiritual world. At the same time, we are actually already in the spiritual world, especially here in the temple. It's just that we don't appreciate it so much. And the more we become pure, the more we can appreciate it. And even if we become fully pure, we can appreciate it even if we're not in the temple. Because we'll just see Krishna everywhere. But that is very high. And then still, Prabhupada did also mention that we should desire to go back to Vrindavan. It should be strong.
Actually, he also mentioned in one place that Krishna is waiting for us. The relationship that we have with Krishna is unique, and there's no one taking our place while we're not there. So he's waiting for you to go back.
Yeah, this is kind of an enigma, that on the one hand he doesn't need us, but he wants us. It's a very subtle part. And I feel that also, if we understand this better, then we can also appreciate devotees more. Because Prabhupada many times said, I need you. And sometimes I feel that it's a little bit lost. That we become a little bit, it's kind of an impersonalistic tendency that we kind of like, oh, whatever, we'll do whatever you like. And but Prabhupada never said it. He said, no, I need you. Please come, I need your help. And sometimes, you know, what Krishna doesn't really need our help, but we can say it to other devotees.
Well, the thing is, when it was Battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna, he said, I'm not going to fight. He wanted them to do it.
Well,
if he wanted, he didn't need an army to kill the other people. He could just, he's got a Sudarshan chakra. He doesn't even have to use a Sudarshan chakra. He can just think it and they're all dead. But he wanted them to do it.
I mean, you know, of course we know that Krishna, like philosophically, doesn't need us, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says, I can't do it alone. I need you. I can't do it alone. I need my devotees to preach for me.
What did he do?
Right? Did you not remember that? Yeah, he says, I mean, Prabhupada also says that Bhaktivinoda Thakur could have done everything.
Oh, really?
But he left it for you, he left it for us. But at the same time, there's this quote where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I can't do it alone, I need your help. And push this woman all over the world. So, like I said, it's a subtle point. I think the simple thing is that, you know, everybody is Prabhu.
Everybody's?
It's Prabhu.
Yeah.
So, we always try to be the servant. And if everybody understands that, then that's the spiritual world. Because then everybody's like, no, I want to serve you.
One time, there was a radiator in Rotterdam, and Bhattacharya Swami was there. And when it was his time to speak to the public, the audience, he said, thank you so much for coming and making this festival a success. Bhattacharya Swami. Because if the public didn't come, although they're just regular people, if they didn't come, then where would be the festival? And I thought, wow, yeah, he's seeing it on a different level than us. It's the attendance of all these people that made it a success. We could make so many nice arrangements, but if no one comes to it, then we don't count it as a success. Like supposing you were, that someone's here in Radhagesh, you go down to the morning program, and there's this, the song is playing, but there's no devotees in the temple room. It would like be really strange. And then, someone has done the puja, and when you chant your rounds on your own, and then there's a film with Prabhupada, it's a Monday, there's a film about Prabhupada, and you go for breakfast, and all the buckets are full of prasadam, and there's no one around. How can you enjoy being in Radhagesh even? If the whole day there's no one here, just on your own. And the people who do come to the temple, for example, the morning program, These are the people to appreciate even more, not criticize. Oh, Prabhu, you're late, or you're not dressed properly, or you're not dancing nicely, or whatever. These are the people who are making the morning program nice by coming. Yes?
Yeah, today I was making this page called, someone asked me to make it, it's called My Servant, Prabhupada. So he wanted me to find all the quotes where Prabhupada says, you know, you're my servant. I couldn't find them.
Oh, Prabhupada said you're my servant?
Huh?
Prabhupada never said you're my servant?
No. I couldn't find it. I mean, he says it sometimes, but not so directly. It was interesting. Krishna Xavier just walked in, and he also remarked that this is against what the so-called karmis tend to think of what a guru is, that he has all these servants and everybody serving him. So, but Prabhupada wasn't seeing it like that. He was seeing, I am a servant of my Guru Maharaj, and you are assisting me in my service, and I'm actually assisting you, I'm actually serving you. He never used that word, and it was also not in his, I could just see, it wasn't in his consciousness at all. He was just trying to help people to become Krishna conscious.
That's very nice. Yeah.
And I also talked, just to elaborate on that, with Ghosh, the Thakur, and he told me that, because I heard it many times, that Prabhupada walked into a room and everybody felt that Prabhupada looked at him.
Oh yeah.
Right? But he also told me, because it also happened to him, that Prabhupada looked at him too. And he said, I'm not sure if that were the exact words, but that's how I remember it. But he said Prabhupada wasn't on a trip. Because that's what people say. They say that Prabhupada saw all the dirt, but he loved me anyway. And then people started to cry. You know, so he also felt that, but he said it in a different way. He said that Prabhupada wasn't on a trip. He wasn't judging that, oh, you're this and you're that. He was just looking at you without any judgment. And he was just trying to encourage people to become Krishna conscious. So just what you said about the morning program, like, you know, why I'm not dancing, we all have this, at least I do. So what Prabhupada didn't really happen. Sometimes he would, because they were leaders, he would kind of talk to them like, you have to give a good example, but it was again to encourage other people. So that was always in Prabhupada's mind, to encourage people to become, to take the spark, and he was never really judging people. That was not really.
So there are some people, they say, oh, I don't like people, but I like animals. For example, if a dog comes up to you, he starts wagging his tail and he gets very enthusiastic and he doesn't judge you. He's just happy to see you.
Yes.
I can't remember who said it. Somebody said, don't look at someone's faults, and especially don't look at their past. Before they were in ISKCON, they used to do this or that. Look at the future. Look at the potential. If what he could do, who he could be. That's how you can see it very nicely. Look at people nicely.
Yeah, and it seems that Prabhupada could really see that, because he could see the soul, and perhaps he could even see the, what they call it?
The soul, the potential.
City, you know, the perfect city, Swarup City, the original form of the person, you know, so with Prabhupada that was so truly that people just, someone told me that even so-called karmis that would start to cry when Prabhupada would hit the airport. All the devotees would laugh and cry at the same time, and the people around it would also start to cry. The body were attesting to them, the people just walked by and they saw Prabhupada and they also started crying. They didn't know what. But I think it's because of this that Prabhupada
non-judgmental.
Yeah, and he would just see people as they are, and he would just bring this spiritual energy into the room. It's just amazing. But we can also, if you become pure, and you see it with the gurus or the advanced devotees, you can feel it when they enter a room. It's just, it changes the atmosphere. And you can also feel it, like I was in Amsterdam. If some criminal walks in or some really disturbed person, you can also feel it. That's why it says in Upanishad, you should not disturb other people with your mind.
Oh.
So, but yeah, we, if we become pure, we can also become like me.
Shall we stop on this note? This nice, with this nice talk? Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Madam Margopal Prabhu ki jai. Oh, glory to the assembly.
Yeah, but that's just the verse, you see?
It's
no,
just
because, because this is like a book, and this is for, I don't know, it's like for preaching. That's just a thought, I'm not saying it's per se. Yeah, no, I know, but I'm not saying it's per se alone.
If I would put it in an English sentence or a Dutch sentence,
out and chant it. So you might want to consider that.